even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. My heart doth long for thee. Though I failed and betrayed thy trust, even so, Lord Jesus, come. When my eyes shall span the river, when I gaze into the vast unknown, may I say with calm assurance, even now, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. My heart doth long for thee. Though I fail and betray thy trust, even so, Lord Jesus, come.
Be sound.
There was too much sound. You got it? All right. And that was, she never wanted to do that anyway. She never wanted to come before the Senate publicly. I learned that today from her. Part of her testimony. I think something happened to her. I don't think Kavanaugh had anything to do with it. Because Kavanaugh gave one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard anywhere. I sat in the parking lot down at the tracks and I was weeping as he was giving his speech. It was enormously moving. Enormously. I don't think a guilty man could do that. And even hardened leftists like ABC News, they begin to have doubts. So we'll pray for what's going to happen tomorrow. And pray for our country. We're under attack. I think that we have to take a turn here. And the turn we take will determine a great deal about what kind of life our kids have. And so, got to keep it going. So we'll pray. God, I believe God is in this thing and he's doing something with our country. And we need to keep praying that he'll go before us. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of where did the rapture go? When I was saved nearly 50 years ago, a little bit over 50 years ago now, nearly everybody was preaching on the rapture. Anybody who was a fundamentalist was preaching on the second coming and all those events surrounding that. You hardly ever hear of that anymore. I went to a Bible college I soon dropped out of and went to another college, but over the entranceway, there were these words, preaching the whole English Bible. That's not true today. Preachers are not preaching the whole English Bible. They just pick out things that they want to preach. And the part they want to preach. 25% of all the Bible is prophecy. And a great deal of that 25% concerns the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so they're just preaching partial Bible, not the whole thing. Just what they like. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, I don't know what that is except the rapture. I mean, there's nothing else you can make out of it. I mean, you can do some expository preaching on that for a good while. So there are two central passages to describe the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 and 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54. The rapture refers to when Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God to gather all the true Christians to heaven. Those who already died, they'll rise first, the Bible says, and those living will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so this event is going to be... is going to happen suddenly, and it's going to be without warning or prophetic signs. Could happen while I'm speaking right now. There'll be no warning. On the other hand, the second coming of Jesus Christ has many signs. Now, first of all, Jesus comes for his saints. That's not the second coming of Christ. That's the rapture. He's coming for his saints. His foot does not touch this earth. We meet him in the air. Then, at some point after that, shortly after that, Antichrist arises. Antichrist cannot arise before Daniel 7 and verses 7 and 8 are completed and fulfilled completely, just as Scripture says. Antichrist is held back by Scripture. He cannot arise. He cannot come on the scene until the whole world is divided into 10 super nations. We see, oh, I've gone through that before. Some of you remember we studied that, and I've gone through that several times before over the years. Right now, the world is coming together in 10 supernations. Europe is in flux over there. They go in and out, but they are supernation number one. 1973, the Club of Rome divided the world into 10 supernations. And we see that played out there in Revelation 17, verses 12 through 17. That's the companion scripture to Daniel 7, verses 7 and 8. And there's 10 toes, 10 horns, and 10 kings. It's all the same thing. It's just that God is looking at it from a different direction. Just as an artist would take an object and look at it from this direction and that direction. 10 toes, 10 horns, 10 kings. The number 10 is the number of human government in the Bible. And so all that's going to have to be completed. Now, all this business about the NAFTA, that's the preliminary step towards the North American Union becoming supranation number one. Europe is number two, so on. And Trump's not going to do away with NAFTA. And Canada and the United States and Mexico will all be one country one day in the future, sometime in the future. They're working on it. I guarantee you they're working on it. And the rest of the world is going to form into 10 supernations. So there's a lot of prophecy to be fulfilled in the future. And it's exciting to see all these things. And all that tells us is we're living in the end times. And I think we've been living in the end times since 1914, in the beginning of the sorrows of World War I was the beginning of sorrows, I believe, myself. And the Jew is back in the land. 1948, May 14th, 1948. All that taking place. It's exciting to be living in the time we're living in, friend. We're just watching all these things take place. Sometimes there's a step back. Then they'll take two steps forward. And it's not just one clean thing. It's kind of a jumble of these things happening. But it's heading towards that one goal of one world government, one world church, one world economy, which Revelation tells us we're going to have. So, on the other hand, Second Coming has many, many signs in the Bible, and but we're going to confine ourselves to just the rapture tonight, if we can. The relationship is described in John 3:28. Jesus taught that Christ is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Now, Paul said he was speaking more about more than human marriage. Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 29. He was also speaking about Christ and the church. Now, Jesus does not beat up the bride. We're not going to go through the tribulation period. Christians will not go through the tribulation period. There are some that say, here's what happens when you stop preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. You get into all kinds of weird doctrines. And there's many people that ought to know better. They ought to know better. We're not saved to wrath. We're not saved to go through the tribulation period. What bridegroom beats up his wife before the marriage, except maybe a Muslim? That doesn't make sense. No. The bridegroom's going to protect the bride. That's what he's going to do. He's going to cherish the bride. He's going to love the bride. He's going to rescue the bride. Now, the rapture distinctives, many Christians associate the rapture with Christ's second coming. And actually, there's a... this is all part of end time things, but the actual second coming of Jesus Christ does not come until the end of the tribulation period, where his foot actually touches the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says God causes a tremendous earthquake to take place and split that mountain in two. Then Jesus proceeds down off of that mountain and towards the north and into the plain of Esdaleron, where the armies of the Antichrist have gathered there to wipe out Israel, and Jesus rescues Israel from the armies of the Antichrist. And the armies will include the armies of America, if we're still around by that time. It'll include all the armies of the earth, everywhere. The Bible says 200 million soldiers will gather at Armageddon, the last great battle. Jesus Christ will consume the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming, the Bible says. Nobody's ever been consumed by the brightness of his coming. That is reserved for Antichrist and Antichrist alone. He's the only one that's going to meet that fate. And he and the false prophet are both going to be cast into the lake of fire by Jesus Christ himself. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so, he returns with his church, with the Christians, all those who've been saved. He comes for them, and he returns with them. That's his second coming, and he's going to rule the earth during the millennial kingdoms, Revelation 19 and verse 4. So the rapture is imminent. No signs, no events preceding it. Many signs before the second coming, and many of them are in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through verses 30. Although the church is mentioned 19 times in the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation, it's not mentioned again. So we can take that as meaning we're not going to be around here. Or it would be talking about us. And so, the rapture deliverance, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we're delivered from the wrath to come. We're not hanging around to be beat up during the tribulation period. Thank God of that. It's going to be a horrific period of time. The Bible says unprecedented in all the world's history. It'll be war, famine, earthquakes, disease, all coming all over the world, all at the same time. We've had wars. We've had terrible wars. We've had disease. My kinfolks down in Florida, my grandmother talked about the great flu epidemic of 1920s called the Spanish flu. It killed 20 million people worldwide. It started in Europe at the end of World War I, and army soldiers brought it back over here. Two of her brothers died in Fort Bliss, Texas, because they died of the Spanish flu. And she said it was so bad up in Wachula, a little town north of Fort Myers, Florida. They hauled the bodies away in wagons. Whole families died of the Spanish flu. It was terribly deadly. Most people who got it died. We've had some bad times. We've had some bad times in the world. But nothing like this is coming in the tribulation period. It'll be unprecedented in all the world's history. It'll be so bad, people are going to be begging to die. And it's got to be pretty bad for that. And so, after speaking of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. And aren't you thankful for that? Thank God for that. And so notice God did not appoint Christians who possess salvation to experience his end-time wrath. That event is planned for those who reject him as their Savior. And so many ask, if God is going to pour out his judgment on sinful humanity and Christians are still sinful even after being saved, they're saved sinners and sinners. But we're still all sinners until we die. We still have to battle that old sinful nature in our life. told you about my roommate in college locking our door, and I've always hated locked doors because we never locked our doors when I was a kid. When I was a kid, and my dad had a 12-gauge shotgun right on the in the living room on the wall, and he never thought about anybody coming there and getting that gun. We'd go off to town and never lock the doors. And he locked me out. And so I backed off with my foot, and I busted that lock right off the door. Well, of course, they wrote me up. I had to go to the dean. And the dean heard all about it. I broke a lock on the door. And all I remember him saying is, number one, you got to pay for that lock. Number two, don't let that endemic nature get a hold of you. You never locked that door again, though. So, why don't we hear more about the rapture today, Will? I think it could be laid at the feet of a guy like Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye. Their very successful 16-book series, Left Behind, introduced eschatology. That's the study of end times. To a much wider audience than just Christian people. They had bigger ideas than that. What they did is merge fiction with the Bible. That's a no-no. A little leaven is the whole lump. It's worthless. When you start throwing fiction into Scripture, you might as well throw the whole pot out. But man, they sold those books like crazy. They sold those books. 63 million copies were sold worldwide as rapture gained exposure to the unsaved world. So as it had exposure to the unsaved world, it quickly began to devolve into theater. The unsaved man, he can't understand spiritual things. The Bible says he's dead. He's spiritually dead. He has no understanding of spiritual things at all. It's just a blank book as far as he's concerned. Even though an unsaved man can quote Scripture, he has no spiritual understanding of what he's saying. The Bible says he's dead. So the unsaved world gets a hold of this book, and here they go. And then it got to the sitcoms, and then it got to the comics, and they made fun of it. And at that point, preachers stopped preaching on this subject. They thought people would laugh at them. Then Harold Camping, another false prophet here, of Family Radio, spent more than $100 million advertising his particular version of Doomsday. He said Christians would be removed from the earth May 21st, 2011. He did not believe the Bible doctrine of the rapture. So he was actually a Christ rejecter, false prophet. Then he recalculated. That date came and that date went. No rapture. That just increased the doubt about the second coming and the rapture. Then he recalculated with a new date, October 21st, 2011. Yet again. The day came and went. People who could not distinguish between the Bible doctrine of the rapture and the false theology mocked the rapture. So Christians who believe the rapture are often looked at as escapist. We're out of touch with reality, but here's the reality. The reality is, friend, if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to hell. That's the reality. It's just the other way around. The rapture is imminent. That word imminent means it can occur at any time. And so therefore, we ought to live in light of the second coming of Jesus Christ, day by day. Live our lives so that one day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which we will as Christians, we'll not be ashamed of the way we lived. Do all you can while you can, friend. For the night cometh and no man can work. Today, we live in the age of grace, or the church age. God offers his free gift of salvation. Isn't that wonderful? We've seen several boys and girls saved this week in the school. Isn't it wonderful to see them saved? Anyone saved. I think Paul led a boy to the Lord recently. God offers his free gift of salvation. However, it will not always be available. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the accepted time. So the saints will return with Christ at his second coming, clothed in white linen, and they're going to rule with Jesus for 1,000 years. What a glorious plan God has for us. And friend, God's plan is working, and he's working his plan. I don't believe myself that Trump was elected accidentally. I certainly don't believe the Russians had anything to do with it. Did you know that there were 3,000 Christians that met in Washington, D.C. a couple of days before the election, and they were praying that God would have his way. They were praying Hillary would not be in there. I believe that's the reason why Trump's there. And did you know that one of the first things he did in the first year, I believe it was, he moved the embassy of the United States to Jerusalem. Spiritually speaking, Jerusalem is the capital of the world. Everyone always goes up to Jerusalem, no matter which direction they come from, whether it's north, south, east, or west, up to Jerusalem. And I think it's very possible. I'm not saying he's going to do it. I'm just saying it's very possible that Trump is going to have a hand in the building of the third temple. There is a worldwide call now for the building of the third temple. The Jews have done everything that they possibly can far as preparing the priest and the intricate services they have and all the tools that they have made just like the ones in Scripture. The architect has plans for the new temple. There's only one thing that remains: the real estate. Where are they going to put the temple? When they decide that, it won't take but just a few months to put that temple up. Someone suggested maybe, and wrote a very convincing book, I understand. I have not read his book, but I understand it's very convincing. Someone wrote a book saying that the third temple might well be built in the city of David, which is just south of the Temple Mount. And here's one convincing thing he said. And there is no water on the Temple Mount. There's no fresh water. City of David has the Pool of Siloam, a water supply, in order to do all the intricate washings and the wash the tools they have and all the things that they do. It's all very interesting to me. I don't know about you, but when they decide on that, things are going to move fast, really fast. And even some of the Muslims are saying they want the temple. You know why? Because they want the temple built in the interest of world peace. It'll be built. And Putin and Trump are both for it. And I don't have the quote before me, but Putin visited Israel in 2012, and he stood before the Wailing Wall. And he spoke very favorably of building the third temple. All very interesting. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen, and it's going to not be too long from now. The thing for you and I to do is to win as many people to Jesus Christ as we can, while we can, and be ready ourselves for His soon coming. This exciting times we're living in. I'm going to draw for you right now the rapture, so let's have all the lights, and then I'll switch on mine up here. All right, let's stand together, please. Every head bowed. How about you, friend? I wonder if there's someone here who's not ready. There might be someone here who's not ready. You can be ready by trusting Christ as Savior. I wonder if you'd just raise your hand if you have never been saved. Saved from what? Someone said, saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Just raise your hand if you would, if you're lost. I want to include you in the prayer tonight. Anybody like that, just put it up and put it right back down, man or woman or young person. Father, we're grateful for thy word, which is a lamp unto our feet. We're greatly anticipating the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be busy about working while it's day, while we have opportunity. Prepare the hearts of those whom we are going to speak to about Jesus Christ. Prepare their hearts even now. Lead us to the people whom you would have us speak to. Help us to urge them. Accept Christ as Savior. We'll give thee the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Just As I Am as we sing that song. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray tonight, friend. You're welcome to come. Whatever your need is, you come, and you'll be glad that you did. Come on.
Just as I am, without one plea, was shed for me.
Go ahead and take a sit-down seat. Hey, Paul, I got it working. How many of us couldn't figure out our computers? You know, we worked at it time and time again, and then a grandkid comes in and says, hey, would you help me? And they push two buttons, and they get our foot fixed, right? Well, Paul and I was working on the sound thing, and I worked, and I asked Joe Kenning to come 2 minutes. And then I couldn't figure this out, so I get on YouTube. Now, let me give you the quick fix about the rapture. Okay, folks thinking that the church is going into the tribulation. This is where the Left Behind series and Kirk Cameron and company deceived people. Is often, if you go back to the original source, so the tribulation time period, if you ask them where did that first originate, go back to Daniel 9:24. That's where it originated. And so the trick is, usually if you go back to the place where the apostate or the heretic is using this verse, go to it and read it. In Daniel 9, the 70 weeks, when you read it, every single thing, it will say Israel, Jerusalem, oblations, tabernacle or temple. Nothing to do with the church. And with the first 69 weeks operated under the Old Testament, why wouldn't the final week operate that way? And that's why it's all Jewish. And in your Bible, when you get done with Philemon, what's the next letter? Hebrews, that takes you into the tribulation. So that's very simple. That's one thing the people that believe the church is going to the trib will never mention. That it reverts back to Old Testament doctrine with a slight variation because it's after Calvary. Okay, and several years ago, I sent Kirk Cameron a Bible, and he thanked me on the phone, and we talked about it. And he asked me this question about, I want to believe the King James like you do. And I thought, okay. You give me a good argument. So I gave him a few, and then I gave him the whopper. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. I said, is that true? He said, yes. I said, Jesus Christ is perfect and holy today. Is that true? He said, yes. I said, then why do you think there's no perfect and holy Bible today? Silence. The response was, oh. I said, oh. And then he was going to call me back in a couple weeks and never made that phone call. Why he's adding to the Word of God, he's jumped onto Geneva because it's Calvinistic, and he's trying to tell people that if the Christian goes into the tribulation, you're in danger of losing your salvation. Never will the two mix. It's so very easy, very simple. And these guys are not dispensational, and dispensations, rightly divided in the Word of Truth, is the second line of defense against deception in the New Testament. So it's, I write these guys, I don't tell them they're wrong. I just tell them, buy some property in Jordan, secure a house, get some foodstuffs, because you're going to need to be there in the tribulation. It's called Petra, and the response is, I don't know what you're talking about. And that's true. They don't. Why? Because they don't study the Bible. And the gentleman he was referring to is Bob Kornicki. Is that the one that you saw on YouTube? Yeah. Yeah, I looked up that too, and I asked about Gihon Springs when I was in Israel. Yes, the temple certainly does not seem to be built on the Temple Mount because it's not being plowed. There's no water. And it would be over in the city of David, just as the Bible says, which is just a little suburb of 10 square miles. 10 acres, where it would be the biblical location for the Jewish temple. Of course, they've gotten the red heifer now. And it only take them a day to set up a tent, like a circus tent, because that's what they did in the Old Testament. And then if they want to make a more permanent structure, they could put up the bricks and everything, but that won't take long. So, hey, we're just listening for the shout. Now, if some want to go into the tribulation, well, I got one down at Rensselaer, still doesn't believe in it. And I just say, well, good luck. I said, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. He said, I'm hoping so. Why fuss about it? If he thinks he's going in, hey, I'll tell him where the silver and the golden ammunition is. But not until then. So praise the Lord for the Bible. It's so simple. It's just a matter of reading what it says. It's Israel. It's Jerusalem. It's an oblation. It's a sacrifice. It's the temple. How do they miss it? They're ignoring the great mystery of the rapture. That's what they're doing. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the great promise that we're looking for, the blessed hope. A lot of them are looking for the Antichrist. Well, they can look all they want. And Lord, I'm looking for the blessed hope. Yeah, we know he's coming. Yes, we know that 666 is in play. Yes, all that stuff is going on. Yes, the New World Order is going to get its way. But we're looking for the blessed hope. And we thank you for that great promise. In Jesus' name, amen.